Greetings, Saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you so much for joining us for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask you to bless us and keep us and prepare us for the days to come, Lord. Help us to be in agreement with you so we're not surprised by these things that are coming, and that you can show truth to us. So many don't have a foundation for truth and are only hung up under the traditions of men and can't receive past them. We ask you, Lord, to open our eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Saints, I'm going to share with you about draining the swamp. Here's a revelation given to Sue Gilbert, which is going to be interesting to you, I believe. May open some understanding out there. Sue got this on 4/23/19, and she called it the coming chip. It was almost 3 a.m. when I became wide awake from sleep, realizing that someone was talking to me before I woke up, and I thought it was the Lord. I remember hearing him telling me about a man who I think was Trump, who would be wanting people to take the chip to make sure they would be provided for or taken care of. I sensed that Trump may not know the evils of taking the chip. I'm not sure if the Lord spoke that to me in the dream or afterwards. But whether Trump did or didn't know, God said we need to forgive him and that he is using Trump for his purpose. And then I woke up. Now that could be confusing to some. It's not confusing to me. God works all things together for the good of those who love him. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. He's the one that rules. And in Romans 13, there's nobody put into office or into government that he did not put there, either for the good of the people or for the chastening of the people. Now, it is true that Trump is being used by God to bring down the Babylonian deep state. He is also changing the economy for the better, at least for now. But it will be a digital economy where the currencies of all nations will be on a par. And this will make it possible for the mark of the beast, the chip, to work, and that economy to come. Now, interestingly, Trump has been prophesied to be president until the end of his second term, which we believe would be about mid-tribulation, which is exactly where the mark of the beast comes into effect in Revelation 13. So, he may not enforce the chip, but he believes in the chip, and a lot of lost people believe in the chip. Trump is a conservative person. He favors Christians. I think he is looking out for the well-being of Christians, etc. But let me point out something. You know, first of all, remember that if a man is ignorant, God can open his eyes if he wants to. Would that be the best use of President Trump with his gifts? I don't think so. I think that if God wanted to open his eyes, he would. And if he doesn't, he won't. I'm going to point out something to you that may be a revelation to some. Others probably already know this. Some foolishly believe that President Trump is the Antichrist because he seems to be trying to make a covenant with many. Let's look at Daniel 9:26-27 just for a moment. And after the 62 weeks shall the anointed one, that was Jesus, be cut off, and shall have nothing. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with the flood, and even unto the end shall be war. Desolations are determined. So notice that the prince who destroyed the city and the temple in 70 A.D. is the same one in the next verse who makes the covenant with many. Is a man 2,000 years old? No. So let me read the next verse. And he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week, which we understand is the 70th week of Daniel, and which we understand it will be the tribulation of our day. Okay. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblations to cease. Still talking about the same person who, back in verse 26, destroyed the city and the sanctuary in 70 A.D. Okay. He shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and upon the wing of abomination shall come one that maketh desolate, even unto the full end, and that determined shall wrath be poured out upon the desolate. And desolate is people who don't know God. Okay. So, who is this very old prince who uses ignorant men to bring about this covenant? The only man that showed up in 70 AD who was not the king but a prince, Titus, he was a man that was used by this prince and died, and the prince still lives. Okay. That's all a distraction to people because they think that that's their letter interpretation of what this is. But it's not possible. It is just not possible. Read the text carefully. The same person 2,000 years later is about to make this covenant. And if we want to call him a person. The rest of the context in chapter 10 also speaks of very old princes. For instance, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is giving a revelation there. The Prince of Persia is spoken about there. The Prince of Greece is spoken about there. Michael, the Chief Prince of God, is spoken about there. So these are all very old princes. Why would not this one in the context be a very old prince? A principality, if you will. God has his principality there. Michael, the chief prince of God. The principalities that ruled over Persia and Greece are there. Principalities. So, who is the prince who makes the covenant? He is the prince of Rome, who followed the demon reign of the prince of Persia and the prince of Greece. So, clearly, the Roman prince of Satan is making the covenant through ignorant men. Now, does that prince last this long? Of course. Look at Daniel's vision of the legs of the Roman Empire that went from Jesus' day all the way down to ours with the 10 toes. That's a very old prince. See? So, we're not talking about a man making a covenant with many. We're talking about a principality doing that. Now, I want to tell you, all men who are not born from above are following these principalities. All of them. All of them. Matter of fact, all men are anti-Christ until they're born again. Only when they're born again can they understand to follow the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. He's a very old prince, too. So, you know, they want to call him the Antichrist. Well, read the Bible about the Antichrist. It's everyone whose spirit does not believe that Jesus cometh in the flesh. Okay? Everyone. All mankind. That is who the Antichrist is. There's no such thing as the man called the Antichrist. You can call Antiochus Epiphanes back 2,000 years ago, or back further than that, excuse me, an Antichrist. But whenever these entities come into the New Testament, they change into bodies of people. For instance, Jesus, when we came into the New Testament, he became the body of Christ. Israel, the name of a man, became a nation. All of those original men, they became nations of peoples in the New Testament. So why is it that when we get to the book of Revelation, we can only see the letter? It's because that's what God permits people to see until they have eyes to see and ears to hear, okay? So, she went on to say, I asked the Lord if I truly heard from him and went to open the Bible for an answer, and my finger was on sanctuary. In Lamentations 1 and 10, the adversary has stretched out his hand over all her precious things, for she has seen the nations enter her sanctuary. Okay, who is the true New Testament sanctuary? The body of Christ. And who is entered into the body of Christ but the tares that need to be separated? Who are Antichrist? And the nations have entered the sanctuary. What is God going to do about that? Well, let's read on. And the ones whom you commanded that they should not enter into your congregation. That's right. The lost, the tares, are not supposed to be in the congregation of God. Now, how does he separate them? He said, let them both grow together until the harvest. And then he'll send forth the angels and gather out of his kingdom these wicked people. Well, he's doing it. He's doing it now. It's happening. He's gathering them out now. I'll read on. All her people groan, seeking bread. They have given their precious things for food to restore their lives. You know what? They've given up their freedom when they take the mark of the beast in order to live and to eat. See, O Lord, and look, for I am despised. Yes, you know, the people who speak the truth are always despised. People have traditions. They won't turn them loose. It doesn't matter what the scripture says. Now, listen, some would try to stop the mark of the beast because they do not understand the sovereignty of God who spoke that it would come. Who is making it come? God is making it come. The mark is not ordained by men or even the devil. These are just useful idiots. It is coming through men for the purpose of dividing the sheep from the goats. You see, they're in the sanctuary. They don't belong there. They're stubborn, rebellious. They don't belong there. What's going to separate them? The mark of the beast. God wants a holy temple, which is his people now, not a building. He wants a holy temple. And these are an abomination in the midst of his temple. These are sons of perdition in the midst of his temple. So he's separating those who do not belong in the sanctuary or the holy place. The mark of the beast will identify those who are members of the body of the beast. You know, there's only two bodies on the earth. There's only Christ and Antichrist. There's the body of Christ with all of its members. There's the body of Antichrist with all its members. And Jesus said there's only two men on the earth. So how do you know who's who? Well, the mark of the beast are those who are marked in the hand, representing beastly works, or the forehead, representing beastly thinking. The mind of the flesh is death, right? These will take the mark because they do not have the faith to stand by faith without the flesh pots of Egypt. Notice what their complaint was. They were groaning. They have given their precious things for food to restore their lives themselves. So you see, don't make a big bad thing out of Trump. I mean, if President Trump is a Christian, some people think he is. I don't particularly think he is. But if he was a Christian, he would be an ignorant Christian, not understanding the mark of the beast. And you can't judge those that are without, by the way, the Bible says. He forbids you to judge those that are without, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Because they're ignorant, and only God can open their eyes, right? So if he's not a Christian, then you cannot judge him. If he's an ignorant Christian, can you judge him? No, you can't. If you judge those because of ignorance, we would all have to be judged because of our ignorance, right? God doesn't judge according to ignorance. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Okay, so let's get past the man, okay, that's doing this work, because God's ordained him to do a work, okay? She said, then I asked the Lord, was it Trump doing that in the dream? And opened my Bible and put my finger on Prince and great man, which was right below it. My finger was on both, on Prince and great man. My finger was on both, she said. In Micah 7 and 3, concerning evil, both hands do it well. The prince asks the judge for a bribe, and the great man speaks the desire of his soul. Notice, prince and great man speaks the desire of his soul. So they weave it together. The best of them is like a briar. The most upright like a thorn hedge. The day when you post your watchman, your punishment will come. Then their confusion will come. Well, interesting, you know, that as an earthly man, he is a prince and a great man, President Trump. He's not the 2,000-year-old man or personage who destroyed the temple and then destroyed or began the covenant in our day. He is not that person. That person is a principality. He's only under that person, like every other lost man, and actually, to some extent, every saved man who is ignorant walks under these principalities and powers. We're walking out from under them when we come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ and what his leadership is and what he commands us to do and so on and so forth. So she said, then I asked one more question, what to pray according to the dream and verses. And I opened to 1 Corinthians 2:16 with my finger on the word mind. We have the mind of Christ. And that's on the last part of the verse. The mind of Christ. Yes, the mind of Christ is what delivers us from the mind of the flesh, which is death. Right. When we come out of the world, we have the mind of the flesh, which is death. We have the works of the flesh, which is death. Some Christians actually never leave that case. They still walk after the mind of the flesh, and they make doctrines so that they can walk after the mind of the flesh. They don't lose their life in order to gain their life. You see, you must lose your life as a member of the body of the beast in order to become a member of the body of Christ. Is there sin in him? No. So you see, when you sin, you're actually stepping back into the area of the works of the beast and the servitude to the beast. I ended up reading the whole chapter to help us all not to be deceived, but to know Christ and have his mind in us. Yes, true. So we see that God has chosen this man. Look back, folks. When did he ever choose a Christian over the governments of this world? The Bible says in Daniel, he chose the basest of men. It is true. Even if they're conservative and they like you and they want to help you, and even in his ignorance, he looks like he's wanting to help with this mark. As Christians, we know what the mark is, and we're not going to take the mark. But you know what? Carnal Christians will, because they're carnal. That means fleshly. That means they have the mind of the flesh. They can't even see that God could take care of them out in that wilderness. So they're not going to leave the flesh pots, right? Amen. Okay, so I know we're looking at a few little political things here, so let's continue on here. I mean, there is some big troubles coming, right? Okay, this is Sandy Shaw's revelation on 7/2/19, and it's all about arresting the criminals and the big uproar it's going to cause. And Sandy said, in a dream, I'm following the men in black looking for Hillary Clinton. They went to three different houses and could not find her. There was a phone call, and they all took off to some wooded area. So she's out hiding somewhere. I didn't see the house, only the door. They knocked on the door, and Hillary was there with some lady. Hillary was spitting mad. She used language that I would never use nor have ever heard. And then, as they were putting the handcuffs on her, the man said, "Where's Bill?" She said, "He's gone." Uh-oh. So this could mean that he's either already arrested or he's dead. You know, some of these people end up dying, usually from a shot. But anyway, we're not going to get into that. A scene change here. There was a meeting in the FBI building. They were discussing where to find Obama. He was not in his usual places. While the meeting was going on, there were two men that looked at each other. And when the meeting was over, those two men walked toward each other so they could talk. One said, "You know, when we tell, the bottom is going to fall out from under us." And the other agent said, "But I don't care. I'm tired of living this lie." Yeah, God can do that anytime he wants to a person, actually. It sounds very much like his own FBI people will tell on him. It sounds very much like that. And I'm sure that there are plenty of people in the FBI, even lost people in the FBI, that are really glad this thing is happening. They are tired of the criminality and the evil that was going on. But they didn't dare open their mouth. Okay, another scene change. Now I'm in a room and I don't hear a thing. The same two men were standing almost to attention, like in the military, as they were speaking to a man in authority, and he nodded his head, yes. So evidently they told. Another scene change. The men in black are running, and it's dark out. They knock at the door. They knock the door down, and inside that room was Obama. It was so dark, I could hardly see him. And right away, they put the handcuffs on him. And Obama said, I'll kill that Hillary for opening her mouth. So they think it was Hillary. She may have not even known where he was, right? Then another scene change. What do you suspect is going to happen when they start rounding up the leadership of the deep state? Now, I'm not saying these people are the leadership. They're not. The elite are the leadership. The banksters are the leadership. And they're going to get them, and they have been getting them in a way. And they're taking money from them. They've been doing that. And this new change in government is basically going to cut them out, because if they can't make wars, they can't make money. So anyway, so this scene change, and the Antifa mob was huge. Now, I just got to tell you, as long as they can cover their faces, you don't know who's under there, but they're called Antifa. And, they're anarchists is who they are. They don't obey any laws, kind of like the House of Representatives. They don't obey any laws, and they're criminals. And they may even be Muslims, too, because they've been in training to overthrow this country. But anyway, I'll go on for now. This mob was huge, and what I saw was going on in all the big cities. There were three kids, ages 10 or 11, coming out of a store, and they had a soda pop in one hand and candy in the other. And one of the men had a bat and struck the kids in the legs, and they fell to the ground. And they continued to beat them up. Antifa had bats, golf clubs, and sticks. There was an old lady coming out of a Piggly Wiggly with a bag of groceries. They hit her hard on the head, and she went down. Across the parking lot, some men saw what happened, and they yelled, "Hey, what are you doing? Leave her alone." They ran to help her and got beat up themselves. Antifa was destroying stores, but yet not all stores. One of them had a list on which ones they could not touch. Of course, that would be deep state favored stores, I'm sure. We believe the deep state will use the House of Representatives anarchists, and Antifa anarchists will be joined by the invaders and those Islamists in this country who are training to overthrow it and make war against America, and especially Christianity in America. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. Another scene change. The men in black were arresting Comey. And he said, "I don't know why you're arresting me. I did nothing wrong. Nobody wanted Trump." So the ends justifies the means to these people. Listen, you think that's crazy? Well, it's no more crazy than the faction that's happened in Christianity. They have no conscience whatsoever. They don't think they've done anything wrong. It's all you every time. I mean, of course, these people are coming against Trump while he's trying to clean up the mess that they made. So, yes, this opinion is actually out there. You can't believe it, but it is actually in these people. They really believe they're right to break every law in the book because they don't like Trump. Well, let me say, behind them is Satan and his demons who don't like Trump either. They thought they had America. The only one sparing Trump from assassination is the prayers of the people. So another scene change. Two congressmen in the hall outside of Congress. Gerald Nadler and Adam Schiff were being arrested. Another scene change. Then they were questioning Mueller, and he wouldn't answer. And one of the men said, "We already know the answers. We want to hear it out of your mouth." And another said, "We could lock you up forever until you start talking." And then I woke up. And I'm always standing in this dream. Of course, Sandy's been believing for a foot that she lost to be restored, and we believe with her. We are about to see this. I believe it. In Jesus' name. So then, here's something that was sent to me. It's all about massive riots and persecution coming that will shock the nation. And this was posted by 444 Prophecy News on 2019, 7/05. This is Monique Bizet, and she got this on 7/4/19. The Lord keeps showing me visions of massive rioting and severe persecution of Christians coming to the USA. We've been speaking about this, how that Babylon took down apostate Judaism. And, the different methods that they use is the same methods that modern-day Babylon is using, interestingly enough. So she said the severe persecution of Christians is coming to the USA and the Western nations. The Lord keeps telling me to blow the trumpet, to let the people know, to pray against the massive destructive riots, bloody riots, deaths, looting, persecution that is going to break out throughout the nation. And she goes on to say, severe persecution is coming and we need to be prepared. None of this is to put anyone in fear. I just want to blow the trumpet. We have to be prepared and be in prayer against this, for this will not happen, for this not to happen, and for the Lord to have mercy. I think a little later there was a note in this. I'm only pulling out part of it where she said, "Well, it has to come because it's written." And people have a confusion there about whether something has to come or not. Some things can be prayed away. Others are scriptural, and they are already written in the scriptures, and they will come to pass. And this is written, and we've used many verses to show you this great persecution that's coming against apostate Christianity. And so the deep state Babylonish troops will strike out at Christianity in the United States by the same method spoken of in the Bible when Babylon conquered apostate Judah. Pestilence, famine, sword, and fire are mentioned often, matter of fact. And so history just repeats. Find out who somebody is in the Bible, and you can find out what's going to happen to them, because history always repeats. All right, so here's a word that was passed on to Mina Lee Grebin from Faithful Walk Healing Ministries. A dear acquaintance of mine, who is also in the prophetic, contacted me shortly after Trump called a national emergency in order to obtain funds for the border wall. She said that she was not allowed to reveal this in public, but that the Lord spoke to her and said that the national emergency is in place. It will never be lifted, but rather it will eventually be turned into martial law. Well, it's kind of like martial law light. It enables the president special authority and powers, not quite as much as with martial law. So what she is saying that she was told was that the national emergency is not going to be lifted. Instead, it will turn into martial law. Can we see how that could happen? Yeah, after the things I just read to you, I think we can see that. When she said this, I was on the freeway driving home. Cold chills ran down my spine, and for a split second, I actually felt fear. And about a month after she told me what was revealed to her is when the Democrats voted to have the national emergency reversed. I was secretly hoping that it would be overturned. I believe that's because that she had some revelations that Obama was coming back into office. And I got to say, I believe that those revelations were there to get people to pray. Mina has had some revelations that didn't come to pass, and I think sometimes maybe she doesn't understand that dreams, when they're warnings, they're meant to spark people to pray against them so that they don't come to pass. So I'll just leave you with that note, okay? She was hoping that it would be overturned, and because, as you know, Obama left many gifts for President Trump. Many offices not filled, many judgeships not filled. It was a great gift that he left because he thought he was leaving it to Hillary, right? So Trump used everything that he did, all the government changes that he made to give him power, he passed on to Trump. A great gift. And let me say, whoever follows Trump could very well have the same gift. What you do today, you think will help you, but tomorrow it will be the opposite. Okay. And I was hoping that it would be overturned because my friend's words haunted me. So when Trump vetoed the bill and the declaration stood in place, all I could do was pray. Well, I'm not particularly praying to overthrow that, because obviously the country is going to be invaded and the criminals cannot be locked up freely without that. So I'm not praying against it. It was shortly after this, while in prayer, that the Lord said he was going to give me the answer about what's to come. As with all things, take this to prayer. Shalom. Well, okay, that's I would just want to say that we realize that some are prophesying President Trump's demise. I do believe that some of this is at least God prodding people, warning people that if you don't pray, this is what's going to happen. He has told us that before. You need to pray for him every day. Pray angels around him every day. Let him do what God has ordained him to do. Don't worry about the coming of the mark of the beast. You cannot stop it. It is written. It will come. God is going to separate the wheat from the tares. He is going to separate out from his house of worship those who are abominations. Okay. But we believe that when Christians pray, he, as a type of Cyrus, will finish his job conquering the deep state after they chasten America and Christianity in a backlash to try to stop the arrests. Okay. So, the sovereignty of God leads us to understand things. Romans chapter 9 leads us to understand things, that God is the one in authority over vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. And like Daniel said, no one restrains his hand or says to him, "What are you doing?" And he turned a man, you know, the king of Babylon, over to the mind of the beast for 7 years to eat the grass of the field. What is the grass of the field? All flesh is as grass. He turned him over to do that, to devour much flesh. That's what the beast does. He devours flesh, right? So you say, we don't want the tribulation to come. Well, we don't have any choice in that. And matter of fact, the Bible tells us, through much tribulation shall you enter the kingdom. Do you want to enter the kingdom? Okay, then we have to have tribulation. People don't willingly give up their life. They need help. It was a beast kingdom that put Jesus on the cross, the Roman beast kingdom, at the behest of the harlot of his day, who was submitting to that Roman beast kingdom to crucify Jesus and, by the way, his disciples that followed. They needed help. Who was it that nailed Jesus on the cross? He needed help. Okay, and, you know, it was Pharaoh's army that chased the people of God to the Red Sea, where he and his army met certain defeat at the hands of God. It's in the plan. It's in the plan of God. So many things that people in the prosperity movement don't believe in the sovereignty of God, so they're fighting everything that seems to be against them. And yet, there must be a cross. And the beast is always used to put people on their cross. And they don't understand that. And in fact, they fight against the very thought of the crucified life. They fight against the very thought that they must lose their life to gain their life, as Jesus said was the absolute truth. And he said, if you don't take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. These are not disciples who don't take up their cross, who don't understand that the beastly kingdoms of this world were meant to crucify them. And the people who are lost around us have a right given by God to crucify God's people. Remember the story of Haman in the book of Esther. Remember that it was the King of Kings that gave authority to Haman to kill the people of God. That's right. You think that that's not a type and a shadow of the King of Kings? I guarantee you it is. It's also a very clear type and shadow of the bride being chosen out of the people of God and going to the king's house. And then Haman being given this authority because what was stated against them? They don't obey the king and they don't obey their own laws. Which is true. It's still true today. So he was given authority because of the disobedience of God's people. Now, by the grace of God, the true bride interceded to the king on the people's behalf, and God heard, and authority was taken away from the beast Haman and given to the man child and the bride. And what did they do with that authority, since the original command wasn't revoked? They were given authority to tell the people of God that they could stand for their life. I want to tell you, most of Christianity doesn't have sense enough to stand for their life. They don't know their rights. They don't believe Psalm 91. They don't believe the Passover is real today. They don't know that they have authority to not live under the curse of sin and death. They do not know that. But Jesus became a curse for us so we could have Abraham's blessings, right? The blessing comes after the crucifixion. There's no curse on a dead man. There's no judgment on a dead man. If you slap a dead man on the cheek, he'll turn the other one. He'll resist not him that's evil. He's dead. And of course, those that follow Jesus are just like that. They're dead. Thank you, Father, that you're revealing this to your people. This is a wonderful revelation that we came here to die just like our Lord, and that we have to take up our cross and follow you to be your disciple. See, Jesus made disciples, saints, and it wasn't what the world called Christians, because the world came up with the term Christians, and that was because they were like Jesus. Well, to be like Jesus, you have to take up your cross and follow him to a death to self in order to have his resurrection life. There's no curse on that resurrection life. The curse is on the old man who has to die. You get baptized so that the old man dies in those waters of baptism, which are the waters of the Word, which put to death our old life when we obey them. When we obey them. Well, I do believe that the deep state is splitting up, cracking up, as they tell on each other, as they rat on each other, just as with the revelation that Sandy had seems to point out. They're cracking up. They're realizing they're losing this battle. They're getting desperate. They've got one more thing that they think they can do. Cause enough death and destruction that people will back off. And frankly, God's not going to let it happen, because I'm talking about he's not going to cause it to back off for that reason, because he has a purpose in separating the sheep from the goats. You'll notice that the goats that we're talking about in government are totally reprobate people. They don't even have common decency at all. They have no sense of justice or truth at all. These are truly beasts, just like the deep state beasts in Christianity that we call the faction in Christianity. They have no conscience. They will say and do anything. It makes no difference. And the way they cover up their evil is to blame someone who is not doing evil of evil. Hey, does that sound familiar? Yes. Yes. That's exactly what the deep state and the government's doing. So, but they will meet their doom and their end if they don't repent. And a few will repent, we've learned, by the grace of God. But the deep state is splitting up. It's dividing. There is an article, by the way, in What Does It Mean? You can go and read. Let's see, when was that? It was July the 5th. And I think the name of it was Jeb Bush, Cryptic Death Threat. Signals deep state split favoring Trump. It's interesting. And I do believe to some extent that's what's happening. I know we've prayed that God would send division in the ranks and that they would rat on one another. And it's been happening. I mean, God's answered all of our prayers. I mean, all of our prayers. We let the scriptures that God gives us tell us what to pray about in the mornings. And we gather every morning but one, And we pray those prayers. We send forth the angels. We've actually seen them go forth to bring them to pass, and they're bringing them to pass. And yes, there is no honor among thieves. They don't love each other. They'll do anything to save their skin, anything to save their skin. And it's just astounding and amazing what is going on. They're all ratting on one another, and the rest of them are so stupid, only a fool would vote for them. So as far as I know, Trump's a shoo-in. In 2020. And because I don't think he's quite finished his job, and I don't think he will quite finish it by that time. This is an ongoing process. How long will this attack from the deep state be coming against America and especially the Christians? I don't know exactly. It would be nice if it was a quick and easy thing. But actually, it's been going on. I mean, Las Vegas was definitely an attack organized by the deep state, including Muslims, to shoot up a bunch of conservatives. And Paradise was shot up by their DEW weapons, and and on and on, folks. They've been killing people. They don't care anything about killing people. They get power from killing people. They think. From Satan. And of course he favors them for murdering people. So, but you see, Satan don't have a free will. He can only do what God permits him to do. And as the book of Job is very, very plain about, he can only do what God permits him to do, and that is for God's purposes. And so, anyway, you can go and read that article there. That division is happening. I can't say everything in there may be perfectly right, but in general, everything, this great division is happening. And they're beginning to rat on one another, like Jeffrey Epstein, who is going to take down a lot of elite people who went to his fornicate island and molest children island. So thank you, Father, for doing that. And as God's people pray, this evil thing is coming down. It's always a part of Satanism. Abusing children is always a part of Satanism, always. And this government was taken over by Satan. Only by the grace of God are these people not still ruling over us and not able to have the great invasion that they were bringing in every kind of a way. It's still coming in, and they're still trying to stop it. That, yes, that is the deep state people that are trying to stop it, because they know of no way to stay in power unless they get people in here who will vote for them, because they're trying to get people in here. So that's what they're trying to do. But they will fail, ultimately. But the people that they're bringing in are bringing a chastening on people in this country. And we ain't seen nothing yet. When anarchy breaks loose, all of these misfits and all these little misfit organizations are going to go out and do their dirty work. And God has turned America over to this, and he's turned apostate Christianity over to this because of sin and evil in the ranks. God knows best. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. He doesn't have to ask anybody else. He's got all the smarts he needs to do this. And yes, it's going to be a terrible thing. A lot of people, I believe, are going to die. And it may be lessened by prayer. It will not, I believe, be stopped by prayer. Because the purpose that God has is to deliver his people from evil people ruling over them. And that could be people in a family. That could be people in a state. It could be people in the United States. People ruling over God's people whom he wants to be free. to go into the wilderness following the Reformer Man-Child Ministry. God wants to remove the power of these people. Sometimes it may be lost husbands, lost wives that are ruling over someone that he wants free, or a lost pastor ruling over a church full of people that he wants free, all the way up in through the government. God is going to use this to set his people free to go through the wilderness. What did the Red Sea do? It set them free from the old man. The old man was the Egyptian who ruled over them. Remember, he told his people not to go back to Egypt, because that's where the old man ruled over the spiritual man, the Jew. And at the baptism of the Red Sea, because that's what Paul called it, at the baptism at the Red Sea, the old man was put to death. The Israelite, the spiritual man, came up on the other side to go into the wilderness. So you see, we have to have the Red Sea. You can't stop the Red Sea. You won't be free if Pharaoh's army is chasing you through the wilderness. You're not free. There is a freedom going to come because of the Red Sea judgment upon the wicked. So, we thank you for doing the good thing, Father, for your people, even though we hate to see people pass away, be killed, and even some of your people will be passed on too, Lord, because they don't need to be here. So, even some of that will happen. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us today, and we thank you for understanding in our minds that so we can cooperate with you, Lord. Some people are fighting against you, and they don't know it. And thank you for doing that, Lord. And, Lord, we ask you to bless Michael Hare and the brethren that are listening, and that his teaching will be a blessing to them. And thank you so much, saints, for joining us. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night.